Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week. We had a couple of weeks break just because of the Easter period, but back now and doing our podcast again. Been a fascinating period of time. Obviously, the federal election campaign has got into full swing. One thing that's become very clear in that campaign is why Albanese has never been given a portfolio, a national security portfolio or an economic portfolio in opposition or in government. And the reality is he doesn't have the capacity, and that was illustrated amply in his responses to the media on questions on the economy and basic economic details, but also in the debate. You know, he's got a lack of knowledge and I think a lack of ability that should frighten all Australians. You know, I'm certain that Albanese is a nice person. He seems like the sort of person you could have a cup of tea with or have a beer with. But being a nice person isn't the qualification you need for being Prime Minister of Australia. You need the capacity for hard work, but you need the intellectual capacity to actually be on top of the portfolios and all of the issues that face government. He clearly doesn't have that capacity. You know, it was interesting to see the response to the leaders' debate. The supporters of Scott Morrison were pleased that he demonstrated his ample capacity, his knowledge about all of the portfolio areas, the technical details. In there, he had a firm grasp on the achievements of his government and, more importantly, what plans they've got for the future of Australia. You know, interestingly enough, the Albanese supporters considered it to be a great success because he didn't muck up. Now, if your qualification for the leader is that he doesn't muck up, then that's a pretty sad reflection on the expectations of the Labor Party in relation to the leader, potential leader of our nation. You know, the choice is very, very clear, isn't it? You've got a proven Prime Minister who's done an outstanding job guiding Australia through the pandemic. And you've got a Labor leader who, as I say, I think is a nice enough sort of a person, but clearly doesn't have the capacity to be the leader of our nation. And I think the choice is very, very clear. You know, something we'll have a chance to talk about a little bit. I don't like to get too far into the federal issues, but you know, I think there are some issues that need to be dealt with, and we'll talk about those in the next couple of podcasts. Look, really pleasing to see the state government finally come to the table on easing the COVID restrictions. We've been saying this for some time. It's been very evident that the Omicron peak has passed. And that we need to move into easing restrictions. Look, if for no other reason, we need to make sure that we get the Omicron peak over in a relatively short period of time. What we don't want is Omicron carrying on into winter and into the flu season, because that could be a real issue. Nevertheless, the government's come to the table, they've eased the restrictions, so we've got easing of the, or at least removal of the proof of vaccination requirements for venues, for mask wearing indoors. Although I do note that you've got mask wearing still required in taxis, Ubers, and on public transport. Now, I find that a little bemusing that you have to wear a mask to catch the bus into Perth, but you can go into a bar with 500 people in it, all packed in tightly, and you don't have to wear a mask. I mean, that doesn't seem to make sense. Not quite sure why the government's kept that restriction. Look, I can understand how drivers of both taxis and buses may want to protect themselves, and obviously removal of a mandate doesn't mean you remove the right of people to wear masks, and I'm sure many people will continue to wear them. And obviously drivers could wear those, and you know, they can get some protection from that if they feel that they're vulnerable. But otherwise, doesn't seem to make sense. One of the areas that I'm still concerned about is the requirement for proof of vaccination for people to work. Now, the government introduced those mandates, and they said quite explicitly at the start, when they introduced them, it was to compel people to get vaccinated, to increase the vaccination rate. Now, we're one of the most vaccinated populations in the world. You know, it's in the high 90s. Above 96% of people have the double vax. We're well on the way with triple vax. The vulnerable population, and that is older people and people with respiratory illnesses and other immunocompromised compromised illnesses, have, you know, essentially all been triple vaxxed. It's hard to understand now why you're maintaining that requirement for people in workplaces. Now, as I've said many times, we supported the mandates and the restrictions where there's a sound medical basis. But now that the overwhelming majority of the population are vaccinated, there is no clear medical reason to continue with a vaccination mandate for other people entering the workplace. Look, I've been very clear. I'm triple vaxxed. I encourage everyone to get vaccinated. But I do know there are people, for their own genuine reasons, believe that they can't get vaccinated, and some people actually can't because of health reasons. But those people, if they're not vaccinated, the biggest risk is to themselves, not to other people who are vaccinated. So I don't quite understand that. If it's about punishing those people, then that's wrong. You don't have mandates imposed to punish people. You have mandates there for a public health benefit. It's not clear that there's a public health benefit from continuing that mandate. So I think the government needs to seriously look at that and review that requirement and really say, why are they doing it? What's the reason? It can't be punishment. It's got to be for a compelling medical reason. One of the other areas that I am concerned about is the continuation of the state of emergency by the state government. You know, a state of an emergency is an exceptional thing. It's when there's a crisis. You know, it's when you're facing invasion. It's when there have been bushfires or floods that have affected major areas of the state. You don't continue a state of emergency just to give you powers that you might want to use. There's got to be a compelling reason to continue the state of emergency. Now, the state of emergency runs out in the middle of this year, and from what we hear, the state government is looking to extend it. We don't know why. There is no emergency. Our hospitals are very easily coping with the COVID infections, which are much, much lower than was predicted in the modelling. There's no crisis there in relation to COVID in hospitals. And there's otherwise no crisis. We're largely moving back to normal society. And certainly by the middle of the year, that will be the case. Why do we need to continue the state of emergency powers? They're exceptional. And those powers infringe on the normal rights that people have. That is something that should only be done in extreme circumstances. Now, we supported this at the start of the crisis because no one knew where this was going to go. And of course, we saw horror stories from overseas. You know, as it's transpired, because of the excellent work of the federal government, with good cooperation from the states, including Western Australia, you know, we've seen a far better trajectory for the outcome of this Omicron, or at least this COVID pandemic in Australia. But now we're through the worst of it. It's not that it's gone away completely, but we can handle this using normal public health measures and normal public health powers. I can say there are considerable powers under the Health Act that allow the government to deal with any crises or outbreaks of infection. So we don't need those emergency powers to continue. The government shouldn't do it. You know, you get a sense that Mark McGowan and the Labor Party, they love having that power. They love having the ability to apply those extreme measures because it suits them politically. But it is something we should all be very cautious about. And I strongly believe there is no need to continue those powers past the middle of the year. Well, thank you very much for listening and or viewing my contribution on WA This Week. Look, if you otherwise don't know, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. Otherwise, you can get the video through Facebook. Just look up Dr. David Honey and you'll find the link to the podcast. Share it with your friends, and as I always say, please continue to give your feedback. We love the feedback. You know, good, bad or otherwise, we enjoy that opportunity to hear what and see what people are thinking, and then that allows us to improve the contribution that we're making. So thank you very much.